Hare Krishna. Thank you, Tamahara Prabhu, and mutually I feel a nice close bond to you. We have discussed different topics together that we, you know, both share in values. And anyways, you're my big brother. You're my, you're my bro. You're my wise bro. So what comes to mind here in this presentation of today's class is, what's happening is that Akura has this great realization about Krishna, that he's just not an ordinary, you know, kid on the block, but he has he's got extraordinary abilities and opulences. So what Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita has to say about that, after Krishna delineates on his opulences, and then of course we also have chapter 11, which is Krishna's presentation of something quite wondrous in the form of Virat Rup. But Arjuna has something to say about Krishna's opulences. And he says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajambibhum. So, you know, the summary of that verse is, you're God. And then, I am saying this, this is my realization, but Ahustram Rishiya Sarve, Devarishir Naradastata, Asito Devalo Vyasa. What is the last one? Swayam Chaiva Bravishme. And there, Panditji, is it true? Thank you, appreciate it. Thanks for the confirmation. And what is said in that shloka is that this is confirmed about your godness, that Devala, who's some great sage, we don't hear too much about him and what Prabhupada has given us, Asita, Vyas, we're more familiar with him, Narada Muni, he pops in, pops out all over the place. All these different great personalities make this confirmation about Krishna's greatness. I believe it, who was it that went to Poland and gave the Bhagavad Gita to the Pope of that time? Kirti Rash, yeah. So anyway, I think it was the Pope who said, yes, I know of Krishna, Krishna is great. So how great? He didn't elaborate. But it's good, the recognition that he's great is really, it's phenomenal for most people. And when we get down to the details, this is where devotion can start to kick in. Because each time a new quality or opulence is laid out there, it just puts you more and more in awe and reverence, if not, let's say, endearment, closeness, you're charmed, you know, and that is Krishna's particular nature. So I like what Tamahara Prabhu was talking about in terms of Krishna's super excellence. What it puts him, let's say, above or beyond what is Vishnu in terms of excellence and Krishna's wondrous activities. Yes, I think we all like the month of Kartik, because Krishna has these wonderful leelas, which involves yogurt, butter, sticks, angry mothers, running, sweating, loss of clothes, hair getting undone, getting tied up, ropes, you know, all kind of mischief. Krishna's the naughty Dennis the Menace of the time. And that and plus his amorous pastimes with the gopis and his friendship with his coward boys. He's a friend to all. And then Krishna's more, much later on, his wise counsel given to Arjuna, showing his the very mature side of Krishna. Krishna is multi-sided and multifaceted. He's like a diamond, in which every way you turn a diamond, you know, it's beautiful to look at the contour shapes and the colors that it picks up. And Krishna's like that. He's extremely beautiful. And so that's the wondrous pastimes of the Lord. Number two, he's surrounded by his loving devotees. I haven't seen a depiction of Krishna ever where there isn't some devotee or a peacock or a deer or a calf. There's always, he is surrounded by loving entities, and he never stands alone. He's just not a loner. He's not the Lone Ranger, let's put it that way. And he's also welcoming to more people. He's willing to take on more people. You know, you study the lives of very famous people, and the famous people that we're talking about is the one that are given a lot of attention by what they say and what they have done, what they have accomplished. You can be naughty or nice, and you can be very naughty and you'll be famous. And these days, Kali Yuga, that's what it means. The more naughty you are, the more you'll get attention. So some people cannot handle this attention, but it seems that Krishna is willing to take on all the living entities that are dispersed from his own being. And, you know, why not? He is described as being like the spider who just releases this web and does this. Talk about wondrous things just in nature. Have you ever seen a spider web here in the morning? Like, you know, and the dew is on it, little drops are on there, and the sun is like coming through it, and it says, wow, my mother could never make a doily like that. So, It's pretty amazing. And then that same spider will, unless if you're the kind of person that you're going through the forest in the morning and going down the trail and just, you know, you have to go like this, you know. I remember walking with Jagadish through a trail in Canada, and, you know, there's all this, you know, web, and he just kept, you know, the whole time he was going like this. But if it stays intact, generally the experience is that the the spider will just swallow it all up, take it all in. Am I not right about that? I mean, I've had experience, I'm talking to somebody like I'm talking to Tamahar, and we're just talking, and suddenly an uninvited guest comes in. We thought we were alone, and then this little spider comes down. Have you ever had that in between two people? I said, who invited you? So you blow, and then he starts to gobble it all up. It's amazing. So Krishna is this little, we are oftentimes, I like him as a young chap, and in this small, beautiful package, which we call Krishna, you know, he can take everything in, you know. He's pregnant with the whole universe, all the universe, the entire creation, and he can release it in the form of Vishnu, and Vishnu's various manifestations. And then when he wants to, he wraps it all up, just like a child has his playthings, and you know, he disperses them all over, all the plastic objects go all over the room. And then he's expected, if he's a little well-trained and the parenting is well in place, he'll pick it all up and put it in his box. So that's what the Lord does. So he's willing to take on all these living entities, and as many, he's welcoming. Any time that we wish to surrender, he'll come and say, yes, yes, come. I've been waiting. I've been sitting here waiting. The third aspect of Krishna's wondrous nature is that he is always playing the flute. He's an expert musician. He is artistic, as we mentioned yesterday. He has all these artistic, creative abilities, which he was trained at. Of course, he already knew them, but it was making the teacher look good. extremely artistic. He's not a Natabara, you know, there's two deities in our tradition on the Vedic family that have got that kingship when it comes to, you know, dance, and that is Nataraj, that's Lord Shiva, and then there's Natabara, Krishna, who's an expert dancer. When does he dance? Usually at the Yamuna, in the pasture grounds, somewhere in the Gokula district. He's dancing away with his friends, and they're making music and things like that. So Krishna is extremely artistic. And then finally, Krishna is very attractive. He's extremely photogenic, and that's why devotees love to paint and, you know, do various depictions of Krishna. I know that when putting dramas together, it's always hard to find Krishna, because it's very hard to find somebody who's got the facial features and what we have read about, it's a very difficult task to find Krishna in the midst of the crowd, which is what we do sometimes. I've been in Mayapur, and I'll just look over the whole kirtan and says, where is Krishna? Where do I see him? And then I've had experiences where once I found him, I go, I need you. Or Bhishma, or whatever the personality may be for the drama. But these are some of the very extraordinary elements that make up Krishna and put him above the level of Vishnu. Actually, Vishnu, the way he stands, very stoic and is very austere, and it invokes a kind of reverence. And that's good. We need that too. We need to stand straight sometimes, sit straight. Does everybody remember? Sit straight and proper. Sit properly. What? Sit properly. That's the thing on the famous Chakmate, you know. That's the word I remember more. Sit properly, more than the Maha Mantra. That's how fallen I am. So from this kind of stature of Vishnu, you gain a sense of, let's say, it seems to make a statement that because body language does always tell you a lot, and we're talking about, you know, to be austere, to be serious, and maybe even neutral, to be very balanced, something like that. And when we see Krishna, he's also balanced, but curvy and musical at the same time. If you actually look at the image of Krishna, you know, in his threefold bending form, and artists would know this, the distribution of weight is totally balanced on either side, you know. He's got the two arms over here. I guess his, I'd have to look, actually. So, yeah, all over the place. It's really, Krishna's everywhere. And so while he's balanced, he's also very, very musical. There's a softness to him, whereas maybe Vishnu is a little bit more hard with his stance. And of course, everybody needs hardware and software in their lives. Even Vishnu stands there with, you know, the four symbols, and he has the conch, which represents the soft side, victory. He has the padma, he has the lotus, which is soft. And then he's the hardware that he carries is the chakra, you know, which is, when released, does incredible clean work. And then there's the gada, which is also represents, you know, victory over the demons and so on like that, you know. So these are the accessories that Vishnu carries. And when it comes to Krishna, it's a little different. He has his flute, and various types there are. Right? Some of these are explained in the Nectar of Devotion. And then he also has his stick for steering the calves, and that he sticks into his belt, like that. Sometimes he and Balaram, since the story is a little bit to do with Krishna and Balaram, and we happen to be in Brahmanriti, the land of Krishna and Balaram, they also carry ropes for tying cows when they're milking them. Has anybody had experience milking cows? Yeah. Wow, one, two, that's pretty impressive. We're looking at like 1/3 of the community here. Wow, that's pretty good. America today, year 2014. Wow. Anyways, I used to milk a cow before I went to school. And, you know, it was pretty standard, you know, to put our ropes around the hind legs of the cow before milking it, because she would sometimes get a little jittery and stick her leg right into the milk. And once that was done, milk is finished. I remember one time milking a cow, and a rat came into the presence, and it freaked out the cow, freaked out me, and the pail and the milk went flying in the air, and the rope came loose, and it's chaos. Just a momentary thing. So Krishna has these accessories, and just to compare the two personalities, Krishna and Vishnu, who are one and the same, and Krishna just is just a little bit more endearing and really much more attractive, I'd say. Sometimes when we speak to our Hindu friends, they make a big issue about Vishnu and Krishna. Oh, they're two different people. Or they'll say, you know, it's Vishnu who came first into creation. And of course, we know from the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's quite the reverse. But, you know, we don't get hung up on these things. It's enough. I mean, some people are so passionate about it. They're like born again about it, you know? And it doesn't really matter so much. They are one but different. It's nice that we've landed into this Leela, this particular pastime, because we're getting to some details about Krishna's great contribution to the world. You use the word miracles. And when we talk about miracle, we are talking about an occurrence that is hard to explain by science or by logical terms. And that should be happening in a devotee's life, on a big scale or a small scale. If I ask you all this frankly, do you have little miracles that happen in your life? Yeah, maybe like even every day, perhaps. You know, sometimes people call it coincidence or whatever. You know, and when you can't explain it, you can't explain something. It's just a miracle. And it's those miracles that kind of fortify and support your Krishna consciousness. It makes it's a confirmation of things, isn't it? So it seems to me that if they do, would you say that they'll happen every day? Every day. Are there some people into everyday miracles? Everyday miracles? How many people would like to have everyday miracles? Okay, if you don't have them right now, okay, then start looking for them, because they are there. They're actually there. And you know, as Krishna conscious people, we're supposed to be very sensitive and very perceptive. So therefore, you try to, you know, seek out these miracles, and you don't have to sniff. You know, just when they come, it should register. It should just simply register. And that is, that again goes beyond like book knowledge and things like that. Look for those little miracles where Krishna's giving you a little support and backing. And that really, it's a reassurance. And it really, you know, enhances our bhakti, our devotional service, when we see those little miracles. I can't think of anything right off the bat about, you know, what happened to me today in terms of a miracle. But I guess what I would say, just me being here and with all the great Vaishnavas here, like yourselves, and I think that's a miracle. Considering where I came from, my only credential to Krishna consciousness was that I used to milk a cow. That's about it. And but other than that, when we see what's going on around and the kind of hankerings and the push, the yearnings that people have, and the greeds and the lusts, and how it can never be fulfilled, it's very frustrating for people. And you have to just feel some compassion for them, feel sorry. And I'm just glad I'm not in that boat, you know. And somebody asked me the other day, you know, what's your favorite place in the world? I said, well, wherever I am. That's wherever I am at present, because there's always service to do. So wherever you're serving Krishna, that's a very special place. And I would just say it's miraculous that I'm in that beautiful bubble that Prabhupada has created for us. So really grateful that he's done that for me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I think that you're doing good for time, aren't we? Would you like to do some finishing touches?
Just a couple things that you said kind of inspired me. One is, of course, the wonderfulness of Krishna. And of course, Krishna means the all-attractive one. And I was thinking how sometimes I mean, I don't know if this is sentimental or what, but I just think how fortunate we are that Prabhupada gave us Krishna. You know, I mean, you know, he could have been a follower of some other form, and of course, because the philosophy is perfect, we would have followed that. But somehow we've come in this line from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Six Goswamis, and through Srila Prabhupada, who gave us, you know, the highest form of Radha Krishna, and who is obviously the all-attractive. And even as new devotees, I think one of the things that happened to us as we read Krishna book and heard the pastimes and saw forms of Krishna, you know, it was that immediate attraction. And it was hard for us to understand fully in our neophyte stage, but somehow our heart was warmed by Srila Prabhupada, of course, but also by Krishna. Just Krishna, you know, entering our heart, and that remembrance of Krishna came to us. So we're very, very fortunate to be in this sampradaya and be able to worship Krishna. And I was also thinking, when you were talking about miracles in our life, I really enjoyed that, appreciated that, because I was thinking, I'm not so sure if I'm recognizing a miracle every day of my life, but I probably should be, because Krishna is working in our lives continuously, and every day and every minute. And part of our advancement as devotees is to develop that awareness and develop that consciousness of how we really are a part of Krishna, how Krishna's in our life, Krishna's in our heart. Krishna's giving us guidance and instruction and lessons every single day and every minute. And our, as you were saying, our job is to listen, is to open up and to be able to hear that and to be able to take the lesson that Krishna's giving us. And sometimes that's hard. We become distracted. There's so many things in our life. I mean, we're both GBC members. You have, you know, all kinds of problems, issues that are always there you have to take care of. And you really have to, I find, you have to take a conscious effort, all of us, you know, to really stop and look for those things, you know, to see how Krishna's working. And he does work in wonderful, and sometimes they're very strong and very significant ways that we see how Krishna acts in our life. You know, so that's a good meditation. Thank you for that, Maharaj.
You know, what I'd like to say about that is, as a GBC member, like, we know that we have incredible struggles to deal with, problems that we haven't created but are just there. They sort of just pop up out of nowhere. Issues between two people, or between two yatras, or a person in a yatra, or the outside world challenging us, or, you know, and they're very difficult, and the problems are there, and they're, you know, really in your face, and they're out of an incredible magnitude sometimes, and you wonder, how are we going to overcome this? And just somehow or other, by the collective effort of all the GBC members, with collective intelligence and integrity, we can kind of go at the problem, if it is a problem at all, because sometimes we do share joys and victories and so on like that. But, you know, and sometimes you have to really learn patience, because you think you have a problem, you think you have a solution, and it just gets more and more entangling, more and more problematic. And then you just have to really learn the element of patience, because it usually will sort itself out somehow. And you just have to really sometimes depend on Krishna's intervention, his divine intervention. And that's also a miracle. And, you know, sometimes a problem just gets solved just like that. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were going to have this for the next 10 years. And then suddenly a solution arises. And that's, okay, that's the God principle. So it's good to perceive, you know, to be a little perceptive about these things. So we all have problems. Dukkhali yama shashvatam, Krishna states. It's a world that's problematic. And, you know, you work at the solution, because that's your obligation. That's a service. And you can't ignore a problem, but you have to tackle it somehow and go at it like a warrior, but with all integrity. So thank you very much. Is there anything else? Or question time, I guess, really.
Give a class together. So thank you for modeling that for us. So yesterday you addressed drama quite a bit, and there's so much drama and trauma in the material world. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you brought up was buddhi is a way to overcome and to deal with these things. You mentioned today that being in the present is your favorite place to be. And so my question to both of you is, how can we release the drama and the trauma that comes from being in the material world and having this body and some of the things that come up in relationships? and actually be in the present in a like healthy Krishna conscious way?
Just being in the present in a Krishna conscious way. I just remember Nandakishore, who lives in the community and who was a great actor from the Vaikuntha Players. And we did a drama together. We did the Ram Leela. And I can't remember what character role he was playing, but he just got off the stage and said, "Oh no, how am I going to kill him? My next entrance, the adversary, whoever it was, how am I going to kill him? My weapon's over on that side of the stage. How am I going to kill him? I know, I'll strangle him." So the point is, you have to think very quick. You know, you would think very fast about adjustments that need to be made. So dealing with dramas, things that sort of drag you down, I think you just have to remind yourself, it is just a play. You know, don't take it so seriously. You know, don't get so mental about it. It is just a drama, and it will play itself out, and the chapter will end, you know, and then the curtain will be closed, you know, to only open up to a better drama. So I think we just can't get too mental about things sometimes and be very aloof about it. And just like, I think that's kind of a quality perhaps of Vishnu that he's sitting there, or even Paramatma, that we have to take on, that, you know, that there's such a lot of difficult things and it's going to keep going on. This is the way the world is, and there's not much you can do about it, but play out your role in the drama. Your particular part has to be played out. Don't worry so much about other people's roles, but do your bit. You know, we don't always need to stick our nose into other people's business so much, but be more concerned about, you know, what you have to do in terms of your varna, your ashram, the role that you actually play and what you contribute to the community. And I think that's the biggest problem. People stick their nose. Their noses are very, most people are Pinocchios. There's all over the place in everybody else's lives, and, you know, internet stuff, you know, getting into everybody's business, and, you know, why don't you clean your nose first before get in. Does that help a little bit? Okay, maybe.
It's a very good question, and I appreciate what Maharaj is saying about detachment, basically. You know, that we do have to be a little detached, and we can't take everything so, as you said, so seriously. I mean, even as Srila Prabhupada was giving marriage advice, you know, he once said, quarrels between husband and wife should not be taken so seriously. And I remember for a while, it took me a while to understand that. I thought, yeah, but these things are serious. You need to work these things out. You know, you've got to communicate, and you've got to work through the problems and work through the issues. And after about 40 years, I realized you don't really need to all the time. You know, and some things are not going to work out, and some things are not going to change, and some things as they are. You know, so a certain amount of, yes, don't take it so seriously, you know, and, you know, I saw the wisdom of Srila Prabhupada's advice on that. On the other hand, I think as far as ourselves and our own learning and our own advancement, we should take that seriously. I've realized sometimes the hard way that I have very little ability to change situations in other people. So our realm of action where we have responsibility and where we have the capability of change is within ourselves. And so I guess with all the drama and trauma that's out there, I try to, and I'm just preaching to myself here, I can't always do this successfully, but I think what we need to do is to see what is my lesson here, how, you know, what do I need to do? What is my Krishna conscious position in this situation? You know, and some, you know, sometimes I just have to, you know, situations I almost become bewildered, they become overwhelming, and sometimes I find I have to stop back, take a step back and think, all right, this isn't, if I wasn't involved in this, you know, or if I was giving advice to someone else, you know, what would be the most Krishna conscious position? Or what would Srila Prabhupada want me to do? I think that's always a good position. You know, what would Srila Prabhupada want? How should I best act? How could I best help the situation? You know, and at the same time, maybe be a little detached about the results of it.
Yeah. I also wanted to add that stop trying to be the director of the drama. You know, sometimes when we do dramas, somebody else comes in, they just, you know, it's established one director. If I'll tell some people sometimes, listen, there's no room for co-directorship at this time, you know. So let Krishna be the director, and don't be the big controller. Stop playing the role of God, but be the instrument somehow. Play the humble role.
Shouldn't be taken seriously. And he said, they should be like ghosts. You simply say boo and they go away.
I'll remember that in marriage counseling.
I do like that example. And Prabhupada did give the example of Gandhi and his wife who had some differences. And, you know, when they established their community called Satyagraha in South Africa, I had a chance to visit there. Very impressive place. And so, you know, that was a famous, known all over India, the disagreement that Gandhi had with his wife, but not to be taken seriously. Hare Krishna.
Maybe one more? We're about out of time, yes.
I had a question, so I still have the question, but I also have a comment on this last thing, which I picked up from like some, you know, current saying somewhere. It was like when there's something going on and it's negative and you're focused on it and full of anxiety, think of something that you're grateful for. It said the mind actually cannot think of two things at once, and if you think of what you're grateful for, then you become a little lifted up. So I've been trying that, and it really does make a difference. But my question was, Tamahar Prabhu, when you were speaking about the wonderfulness of Krishna, you were saying so many miraculous things he does. We see them as miracles here because they go against the laws of nature. But in the spiritual world, it may be that this is normal. This goes on all the time. So my question is, do the residents of the spiritual world, I mean, I know they don't feel blasé or laissez-faire about Krishna. He's newer and newer at every moment. But do they experience a sense of wonder whenever they see him?
That's a great question. I am assuming from everything we've read that they do. And, you know, we know that, of course, that in a sense, when we see Vrindavan manifested in the material world, it's much like that of the spiritual world, and of course there are differences like demons and things like that, but our understanding is that Krishna is always new and fresh, Navayogana, you know, that his, we also hear that his pastimes are unlimited, that there are millions and millions of pastimes. We have probably just a tiny fraction of pastimes that we've even heard of from our scriptures, but we know there are unlimited pastimes going on, so I would assume that while, you know, they might not say, well, that's impossible, how could that happen? Like we know, for instance, like time and space shrink and expand. Even when Krishna was in Gokula, right? You know, like sometimes like the distances don't really make sense to us. Like Govardhan Hill, we know is 10 miles away. You know, like how did that happen? You know, and because it was completely different. You know, those basic laws of time, space, and material nature, we're more or less suspended in Krishna's presence, you know, so things could expand, could contract. And so all that's going on, and that's probably fairly normal, but the amazing qualities of Krishna and how he manifests himself and his varieties of pastimes, I think we have to assume are just continually amazing and wonderful to the devotees, eternally.
Ever fresh.
Ever fresh.
Yeah, one thing that you made me think of is that while we are looking for miracles and they surprise us to no end, can you imagine people in the spiritual world and they look down at us and says, oh, it's a miracle, what's going on down there? The dynamics are very different here. And yeah, they must be puzzled to see what we're up to. Of course, we understand they don't have time, and their absorption is 10%. But if they had a moment to peer down and look at what we're doing and say, what a bunch of idiots, imbeciles and fools, clowns and rascals. Hare Krishna.
But Prabhupada did describe the miracle that he performed, and that was making all of us devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Panchagopalarubhyascha kripasindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.